Tonight is the second installment of the four-part series on dress. I've entitled this one, Get Dressed. This one will be covering the standard, the biblical standard of what constitutes nakedness. When is it before the Lord when you're actually naked at that time? And so we're gonna do that tonight. I don't think we'll be long tonight. I would imagine we'll go about 30 minutes tonight with this, and that is about it. Next week we will hit modesty. The first two, again, are more foundational for this. Last week's being on the language or the message of your dress. And then this week on, okay, we have to be dressed. What do we got to cover up? All right? And then we'll get into modesty with that. Just don't assume because it's covered up that that means you're modest. That's not the case. So then we're going to look at modesty. And then we will look into the last of the series, which will probably be in between Christmas and New Year's is when we'll do that on, or the first Sunday of the New Year, actually. And we'll cover gender identity and dress, where men are supposed to look like men and ladies are supposed to look like ladies in their dress. And we'll finish it up with that. And these are very foundational, all leading up to the next two messages, especially the message, the last one in the series. But tonight, Genesis chapter 2, let's start there in verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. I think the Lord does that to me here in the winter in Alaska. I think he causes a deep sleep to fall upon me. Never had trouble waking up in the morning in PNG, ever, ever. 6 a.m. up. Right now, look like, oh my goodness, I have to set an alarm. Anyhow, I don't know how I got on that, but we're there. Yeah. And so he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There is no clothing yet. It does not exist in the Garden of Eden. But now let's jump over to chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed together fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And that is true in every single marriage. Every time a man sins, it's the wife's fault. The biblical principle, first mentioned principle, it's right here. This altar should be packed with every single wife in the service here tonight. Yeah. Now that I've lost all the ladies before I begin preaching. No, but of course he blamed his wife. He should not have. Now let's jump over to verse 21. Jump over to verse 21. The Lord at this time has already given out the punishment and let them know the result of their sin. Because remember, the whole world changed basically when they fell. The rules changed immediately. All right? And let's notice one of them here in verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothes. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word and I ask your help tonight, dear Lord. Help me to be clear. Lord, I pray this truth would be presented right, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would put it on the hearts and the minds of the people, Lord. I know they don't need to hear this from me, but boy, Lord, if your Spirit with your word would do the work here tonight, I believe it would be such a help to us. Lord, I beg you, please work. Fill me with your Spirit. Control what I say and how I say it. Lord, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, last week we began this series talking about the message of your dress, how your clothes that you wear are not neutral. It communicates a message. And the whole thing was leading up to that last point that I was getting at, that the Bible, of course, knows that. The Bible knows, the Lord God knows, that the way you dress communicates a message. It says something about you. And then when we do get into 1 Timothy chapter 2 there, when he's getting into where God would have all men to be saved, and for that purpose, you remember, he ordained the Apostle Paul an apostle and a preacher. Why? Because God would have all men to be saved. And at the same time, in like manner, to the ladies, he said, you know what? Know what points men to Christ for you? Is the way you dress. You have the ability to communicate a message with your dress, and the message that you are to communicate is one that professes godliness. And as we're going to see next week, that includes modesty. You cannot profess godliness if there's no modesty in place. It says something different. After the service, I went out to eat with John Pinnock, and he was telling me, he said, when they first got to this church many years ago, I guess this would have been 98-ish, is that right, somewhere around that time frame? He had said that him and his wife are going over this issue of, you know, pants on women, should they make this? They just weren't certain. And he said, what did it for him is, the last thing was how he saw how dress communicated a message. Said he was on base driving, and he said it was at a distance near, I believe it was a park off to the side. And he said, oh, there are some ladies over there. He saw three or four or five ladies sitting over there. And as he got closer, he said, well, those are godly ladies. Well, told him that. Of course, it was their dress. And as he got even closer, he realized that every single one of them was a member of this church. And, you know, just the message that sent to him right there of the uniqueness of what it was professing by the way that they were dressed. Again, we're not talking about going out and dressing in an Amish fashion, by no means. But dressing like a lady, elegant and beautiful, and in such a way that identifies you as a lady. When my family and I were on a furlough, we were at a theme park in Orlando, Florida. My kids were all teenagers at this time, of course, with the exception of Levi. He was, I don't know, maybe 18 months old. He would have been 18, 20 months old at the time. Just my family, just me, my wife, my four kids who are teenagers, and Levi. And we were waiting in line for a ride, and a couple comes up to us, a husband and wife came up to us. And they started talking to us, and they started commenting on my wife's appearance and my daughter's appearance. And it turns out they were members of a Baptist church there in the Florida area. And again, my wife and girls were certainly dressed different than the wife that we were talking to at the time. But they began talking to us and how, you know, the Lord was working on their heart just by looking at how my wife and daughters were dressed. That family took us on for support. They actually supported us every month after that. Again, your dress communicates a message. All right? Part of our problem today is, again, we don't want to be identified with Christ. We want to be identified with our culture. And in America, that wasn't a problem for generations. Why? Because for the most part, the way America was very much a Christian nation. The dress standards for the majority of time of this nation were basically biblically based. But as the country gets farther from the Lord, that changes. And now it becomes harder to be a Christian in the culture because it's no longer based upon God and His Word. And now, especially when it comes to ladies, men, we don't have that problem. But ladies, because you can profess godliness by the way that you dress, and the devil knows the power of that, you are going to look different and stand out from your culture. Because it's no longer a Christian culture. What we wear is important, and it's important before the Lord. Now, it's been said, and this is true, the heart of our Christian faith does not consist in what we wear. But what we wear does reflect our inward condition. Our dress should reflect our inward condition. What we wear is not our faith, but it should reflect our faith. And again, today as we continue, I want to look at what needs to be covered. All right. What constitutes biblical nakedness according to the Bible? What do we have to cover according to the Bible? All right. So anyhow, I start off by reading in the book of Genesis, and we see Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were perfect. They were without sin, and there was no clothes. They were naked in the garden. There was no shame that was associated with that. If you notice the wording of that, they were naked and they were not ashamed. They were perfect. There was no sin. It was a perfect environment. That's all they knew at that time. That was it. And it's even interesting the wording when you go back into Genesis chapter 2. If you notice, it does change from woman before Adam, and then when God presents her, it's now wife at that point in time. All right? So you have them, they are married, they're a couple, they're naked, they're not ashamed. I mean, again, they don't even really know what naked is. There's no reason for clothing. But then, of course, they fall. We don't know how much time transpired between Genesis 2 and Genesis chapter 3. We're not certain of that. But some time had passed, and the serpent, Satan, had deceived Eve, and they broke the one commandment that the Lord asked them not to do. And immediately, shame came in. And one of the very first ways that shame represented itself was they knew they were naked. Immediately. And so they, even before the Lord came and appeared unto them, they knew they had to cover themselves up. And so Adam, being a man, he does not choose a banana leaf to cover his wife. He chooses a fig leaf to cover his wife. Now, fig leaves are actually a pretty good size. But we know by the wording of it, he basically just covered the loin area, which means the small of the back, the waist area, the groin area, is what he had covered at that point in time. However, we see when the Lord comes on the scene, it's interesting, too, in how he addresses the sin first, is because now they knew they were naked, which was a result of sin. All right? Who told you thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree I commanded thee not to eat? Of course, the Lord knew the answer to that. Yes, the woman who thou gavest to me, she gave to me, and I did eat. And so he goes through what's going to happen as a result of the sin. And then the last thing here basically mentioned he does is he clothes them. Now, there's different types with that. We're going to get to that with a last point right here. But we have a first mention principle. And that is that, and how God clothed them. And we're going to see, whenever, in theology, when you have a first mentioned principle, and of course a lot of those things obviously take place in the book of Genesis, you can usually see this thing brought out further, more and more and more information about it as the Word of God continues. But that the same premise that was started with, that it had begun with in the book of Genesis, maintains the same. And we see that certainly with how God clothed Adam and Eve. The same thing continues throughout the entire Word of God. Now, the first point of this is, let's look at what is biblical nudity. I'm going to define it right off the bat here, and we're going to get right into the biblical support for it. Leviticus chapter 18. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. I'm going to start in the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. So what he's getting ready to address is the Lord knows that the culture that Israel has been in had some major problems. And the culture that they're seeing in the land of Canaan also has some major problems. What they have been seeing for almost 400 years, there's problems with it. And the culture needs to change now for God's people. And so he begins here, and one of the biggest themes of this chapter is nakedness. And he goes on, you shall do my judgments, verse 4, and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And it goes on. We have to read all of that, but that's almost the theme of all of it at that point in time. Look at verse 27 as he's summing up what's taking place there. And again, the prominent theme here that he was addressing was the way that the other nations were clothed, or really the lack of clothing that was in the other nations, that was in the land of Canaan and that was in Egypt. Verse 27 says this, "For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled." He's saying now, what you're seeing take place in this culture isn't right. There's things that have to change. And one of the things was how the culture was dressed. Again, Egypt is a picture of the world, and we are certainly not to follow the world's standard when it comes to how our appearance is and how our dress is. We're not to let Egypt teach you how to dress. It's not to be these different Hollywood stars from the Kardashians, whoever it is, that teach you your style of dress. It's not to be the rock stars of our day. It's not to be the athletes of our day. We are to have a biblical standard. As our culture is getting away from God, again, there was a time in this nation, and we're going to see that hopefully in the fourth week. I hope to bring out a point about that, where there was a time in the nation when it did hold to a biblical standard within the culture, and that carried over into the dress standards that was here in the United States of America. But we have been drifting farther and farther and farther away from God. And so the Lord instructs it right away. They're getting into the land. He says, all right, first off, let's talk about this. What you learned in Egypt and what you saw in Egypt and that you're going to see here in the land of Canaan isn't right. And one of the things brought up is, of course, you're not to look upon the nakedness of anyone else besides your spouse. Now we'd say, we all get that. We don't. I'm going to read this to you. Several years ago, I think it was on 2008, I had wrote a blog, and it was just a very quick one on, I was being asked questions about being a missionary in a third world country like New Guinea and handling that of nakedness. So I did a quick blog. It's actually based out of Genesis 2 and 3 on God's standard for what biblical nudity is. It was very short. And this was a response from a pastor. This is a pastor right here. He said, Genesis 3 never explains why God clothed our first parents in animal skins. It does, but we'll get into that later. Nor does it record his action as a commanded behavior. It doesn't necessarily give it as a commanded behavior, but if God gave them clothes at there, they shouldn't take them off. All right? Some Bible scholars, here's his problem right now, you're going to see the rest of this, he leaves the Bible for, quote, Bible scholars. Some Bible scholars believe he was graciously providing leather outfits for protection and warmth. This view is in keeping with the real need of the naked spelled out in James chapter 2. All right? Other theologians, I'll come back and address this in a second. Other theologians suggest that the skins of slain animals were meant to teach us about the necessity of sin's atonement. I agree. I think there absolutely was a picture there with an animal being slain and blood having to be shed to help cover their sin. Today, however, most preachers like yourself insist that God's intention was to hide the nudity of the body itself. Yes, even though it was the nakedness of a married couple. They were going to have children. So here's a fellow who, a pastor, not just anybody, who believes it's not even a sin to be naked. All right? He goes on to try and lay out his argument. He said the last concept is highly suspicious of devotional allegiance to Victorian standards for dress. And I will address that's a common argument that you get today against, I don't know how many pastors I've had that discussion with where they say, well, you do maintain standards, you know, your wife and your daughters wear dresses and you're maintaining this allegiance to the Victorian standard of dress. Absolutely you're not. But we'll get to that later. That's a bogus argument. It says, with devastating results, missionaries of the Victorian era imposed these same standards as part of their gospel on converts in naked cultures. Hiding the body is a moral necessity. After they sinned, they were ashamed, and God clothed them. However, it is totally absent in the language of Genesis chapter 3, except for the part where God clothed them. But a dogmatic belief that such was God's unstated purpose effectively colors all further biblical study about nakedness, tempting the Bible student to read their own cultural experience back into Bible times. I assure you, I was not introducing Western view of dress in Papua New Guinea. This molding of Scripture to fit man-made conventions is a pride of cultural knowledge and that borders on cultural idolatry. Dr. James McKeever, an evangelical Bible teacher, pointed this out in his critique of the history of Western missionaries who clothe naked natives as a holy activity. Again, these are people that teach in Bible colleges and seminaries that are teaching missionaries, and I witnessed it firsthand in New Guinea as well, the idea of, no, that's their culture. I watched religious events take place in the name of Christ as women danced around with virtually nothing on. And this would be at a church event. All because of their culture. Anyhow, let's see, anything else I need to bring up here that he states? He told me to read this book called Nudity and Lust from this guy's book. I responded to him. I said, let's examine your points against Scripture. First, you made the statement, some Bible scholars believe that he was graciously providing leather outfits for protection and warmth. And he said this view is keeping with the real need of naked spelled out in James chapter 2. And so I used sarcasm for this point in trying to make it. I said, let's see if the climate was an issue and Adam clothed him and Eve. Perhaps he was there and a cold wind came through and he said to Eve, let us get clothes. Maybe it was a snowstorm that came through into the garden right after they sinned and they had to get some clothes on. Of course, all this, I don't want to go into all my response. I went on to say, the Bible is clear why they were addressed. It was because they were ashamed. In context with the preceding verses, the Bible stated that Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. That's the last verse of chapter 2. And this is prior to the fall. Moses, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote those words. This shows us that in Moses' day, if a person was naked, they would be ashamed. So not being ashamed when naked was something different about Adam and Eve before the fall. Then after the fall, Adam and Eve covered themselves. Why? Because now they were ashamed, and so they clothed themselves. Had nothing to do with the weather, nothing at all. The preceding verses did not say they were naked because weather was ideal for nakedness. All right? It says they were naked and not ashamed. So what was the change? Shame and sin. And again, I said, this is the Bible. And I stressed again, Adam and Eve, they weren't naked in the garden because it was ideal for weather conditions, and then that changed after the flood. And then we went on to continue with different verses we're going to look at here and trying to lay out an argument for biblical dress and standards. But anyhow, there's other people out there. This really goes on. I don't really have time to read all of it right there. And some of those concepts I'm going to cover anyhow. In this message. There are those out there, though, who actually really do believe this. And they try to point to verses like James chapter 2 where it talks about, and there are a few verses like that, not many, but we have a few in the Old Testament and a couple in the New Testament, and when it refers to helping somebody who is destitute, and a mark of destitute isn't the proper clothing, and yes, we have a need to help clothe those who are destitute, that's why they're naked. But there is much, 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 much more dealing with nakedness, sin, and shame, and where it's not right. So the question is, who determines what nakedness is? Who determines that? I remember I had that issue a little bit different issue with a cousin of mine, and we're dealing with long hair or short hair. And that always likes to come up. Well, who determines what that is? Well, when it comes to this thing of nakedness, the Bible is very clear. It lays it out plainly what needs to be covered. Again, our problem is we have allowed Hollywood to determine, and when we hear the word naked, we think of almost like full nudity because we grew up on Hollywood. We don't understand that goes well beyond the Bible standard for when God considered you naked. We have been brought up in a culture where it's naked just if certain parts are uncovered. But again, our culture is not to determine. I mean, should we allow Islam to determine that and covering from head to toe? I remember that when I was in Saudi Arabia, and I know others were here, and Brother McDonald was there, and you wouldn't see anything of a woman. I mean, just covered. Or should we do the American European style where basically it's clothing optional? So who determines? It's not your culture that determines it. It's the Bible. Again, our problem is our definition of nudity is not the same as God's. We have our American view of it. We have our Hollywood view of it. But the fact is, the Bible needs to determine our standards. Our Bible needs to determine for us, all right, so what is biblical nakedness? What is the standard? Well, what we're going to see here is I'm going to lay it out first. I'm just going to say it, and then we're going to go through this. The standard laid out in the Bible, to make it pretty simple for me, is from the neck to the knee. All right? That's going from Genesis chapter 3, what we're going to see, going all the way into the New Testament at that point in time, is as to what needs to be covered within the human body. All right? Now, in the garden before the fall, this was not an issue. Sin had changed all of that. Now, when Adam and Eve made clothes, not only did they just make by the definition of the word that they made, again, they didn't make a whole lot of clothes with that. He was basically just covering the groin area. And then when God had killed the animal and slain that animal, the word changes. He made coats of skin at that point in time. And that's a very interesting word, the word coats of skin. The word means to cover, robe, coat, lawn, garment. All right? So when he clothed Adam and Eve, he was establishing a length. He clothed them basically from the shoulders, as the garment would flow over, and would drop down. We don't know exactly how long it went, but we know it had to at least go through the knee. All right, it was a long garment. We know that through the knee, at least, because of other verses in the Bible. For instance, let's turn over to the book of Exodus. And it is typical of our day, the Lord covered much more than Adam did. Exodus chapter 28. We will come back to this verse in the last week, but now we're just using it to establish what parts of the body was God clothing. So here's instruction from the Lord regarding the priest and Aaron about their clothes. Verse 42, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness." All right? So these breeches, which would be pants, would be trousers, breeches, what do they have to cover? From the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. All right, so they had to be covered. And he already dealt with the top garments. Now he's going to deal from the loins down. And he said, listen, your nakedness has to be covered. So what had to be covered was the thigh. The thigh has to be covered. If that is exposed, you are biblically naked at that point in time. Again, that's different than American culture. American culture doesn't define it. And there was a time in America when that was culture. Again, this verse lets us see that all the way to our knees needs to be covered. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 47. This is just a verse I'm going to use to explain. There's different meanings here with the verse, but it does show the idea when the thigh is exposed, you're now naked at that point in time. Isaiah chapter 47, and let's just go to 2 and 3. Take the millstones and grind. Israel is going to be made a slave here, talking about their journey and what was going to happen to them. Take the millstone and grind mill, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Now the idea here is when their thigh was going to be uncovered because they're slaves, that they're going into a different culture because of their sin and whatnot. And their thighs, their legs and thighs were going to be exposed. At that time, you know, your nakedness is going to be uncovered. This is consistent with what we see in Exodus. This is consistent what we had with first mentioned principle in the book of Genesis with a long garment that God put upon Adam and Eve. And by the way, this standard is not just for ladies, it's also for men. We don't see a when it comes to biblical nudity, there is no difference in the Bible given between male and female. Both had to have the same amount covered. There was not a difference right there. So we see the need to be covered is from the neck to the shoulders. This also flows with when we get into next week in the modesty with the apparel, the word that is used there, with a long flowing garment. All right? Consistent throughout. We see the same consistency. Not only that, please keep this in mind, that within where the Christian culture, where Christianity did affect the culture for right from the very beginning, all right, you see this same standard in place. Let's see. Again, this applies both to men and women. When I was in PNG, I had a few different issues obviously would come up with dress and standards with dress. One of my most challenging when it came to biblical nudity was not the ladies. I mean, I did have an issue that really the Lord dealt with. I did not have to address, but I had an issue with the men that I did have to address because it was such culture. They'd go around without a shirt on all the time. It was culture. Complete culture. Much like it is here in America. You know, if you're in hot weather, man, go down to Florida. I mean, there's hardly a guy cutting grass without having a shirt on at that point in time. All right? But biblically, the standard to be covered was from the chest to the knees. Yeah, but that sounds so bizarre. It will in any culture that's turning from the Lord. It will sound foreign. It will sound peculiar. And so I would have to deal with the men with that. But it was neat after they would see it, I would show them there from Genesis, and I said, listen, Adam sort of had the same problem you did. He wasn't covering everything he needed to cover. And so I'd have to sit down and teach him, and I'd get them in little groups and say, fellas, we're going to go over this. You got to cover up. And, of course, and it took. And, yes, they were the ones. It was kind of funny. It's just like any church. You know, I had the majority of them that would see it and they would take hold of it. Others would just do it because of the missionary. And again, I don't want you doing this because I'm the pastor of the church. I want you to see this in the Bible and have the conviction for yourself and how you dress. And I always had a couple, whenever I'd come into the village, I'd see them quickly grabbing their shirt, running back into their hut, getting their shirt and coming back out because the missionary was coming through at that point in time. Now, what I want you to see now is that how nakedness is associated with sin and shame in the Bible. All right, Luke chapter 8. We know the biblical standard given was a long garment. God was clothing, and he got very specific in passages. Listen, you got to get the thighs covered. All right, thighs have to be covered. Let's go over to the book of Luke, chapter 8. And a lot of times, it's not true in every single case, but usually there is a, you would have nakedness and then you'd have shame. For instance, when Peter would be in the boat and he was naked and he grabbed that coat, remember, he didn't have to be sitting there with no clothes on. That's how we picture that. He just had to have his chest or thighs exposed, and he was biblically naked. And the Bible would define him as naked at that point in time, just like it did with Israel. By the way, your nakedness is going to be is going to be uncovered. Well, what were they doing? Well, the preceding verse let us know. It had said, your thighs are going to be exposed. Luke chapter 8. The point of these next set of verses is I want to show you that nakedness is associated with sin and shame. Let's see, what verse do I want? Oh, yeah, verse 27. And he went forth, he went forth to land. There met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Of course, this is the man with legion. He has all the demons with him. He is lost. He is demon-possessed. And one of the very first marks the Bible describes to us about him, it could tell us a lot of things about this man. But one of the very first things it gives us as a mark of his lost and his depraved condition is he doesn't have any clothes on. You see this throughout the Bible. There's verse after verse after verse that we can go to where the Bible is associating nakedness with sin and with shame. There was a Bible translator, and it's true, any culture that is without God or moving away from God, the clothes are going to be shed. It's a mark of it. It is a mark of shame. All right? Any culture that is moving away from God or doesn't know God, the clothes are not going to be present. There is this, she was a Bible translator, went to work in a New Guinea tribe. I can't think of her name right now. This wasn't too long ago now. And she was trying to do Bible translation, and she was in the middle of this village, middle of nowhere, and the guy kept on showing up, and he would have virtually nothing on. And this guy is supposed to help her with the Bible translation. Now, there's a whole lot about this scenario I don't like. I'm just getting the point out of nakedness here in a culture that is, you know, apart from God. And so she had the idea, I'm going to give him a belt for a present, so hopefully he'll come in with, you know, at least some short trousers on. And so the guy was so thrilled he got the belt. And the next day he showed up with nothing but the belt on. The culture knew nothing of God. Nakedness is a sign of that. Whenever you see people getting right with God, I'm going to end up finishing up with that point, you see them getting clothed. Again, as we see in Genesis 3, when sin came, then they had shame and they knew they were naked. Look at Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 8. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 8. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backwards. Now again, this is just a verse dealing with Jerusalem destruction of it, not actual person in this case. But what I want you to notice is a mark of her fall, a mark of how far away she is from God, a mark of the judgment that fell. The Bible uses the word nakedness to describe it. I'm just trying to give you the Bible premise that when you see nakedness, it's always associated with sin and shame. And yet in our culture, it is glorified. It is the more skin you show, the better that it is. And that is certainly permeating into our Christian culture. Now remember, and let me try and be a really good helper. This applies to men and women. When we're covering, whether it's modesty, I'll probably bring this up again next week, we're covering modesty, but also biblical nakedness. It's just not that we are to cover ourselves completely in one position, standing. If I go to sit down, I should be covered. It's just not in one position. It's just not when you stand up and look in the mirror, okay, I'm all right. Sit down and look in the mirror. Is thigh exposed? Food for thought. Revelation, in Revelation 3:17, we won't turn there, but a poor spiritual condition is described as being naked. Remember the fellow who thought they had it all together, and the Lord says, no, you don't understand it. You are poor, what was the other word? Wretched and naked. I can't think of it right now. But that was a description of somebody who was far from God. Again, nakedness in the Bible is associated with sin and shame. Our problem is a verse that we've seen in Hosea, and we also see it in Jeremiah. Our culture, because it has come so far now, I'm thinking of one of the quotes of the lady of Mary Quant who invented the miniskirt that we looked at last week. Our culture, and this happened, this isn't new to us, it's happened in the past, has lost its blush. They've lost it. There's no longer shame when you can reveal yourself because it's become commonplace now. That when we're going through it right now, we're going through the book of Hosea, and that's one of the charges that God gives against the women of their culture is they have lost their blush. They lost their ability to feel shame. They could walk around loosely. They could walk around dressed like a harlot, and it no longer affected them. As I was studying this week, I was reading a pastor's blog, and I was just cringing as I read this. He said, listen, he started off by saying, I'm all for modesty, but. Like, oh, where's he going to go with this? He said, but we are teaching women a wrong lesson. He said, "We're how did he call us the modesty police? I don't know what it was. I'm not policing you ladies. You're responsible for the Lord. No, you should check yourself, you know, in the morning and whatnot. But anyhow, he had said, we're teaching ladies to be ashamed of their bodies. Adam did not have to teach Eve in the garden when they fell. There was shame there. There should be something wrong if you're revealing too much of your body. There should be an element of shame there, male or female. It should be like, this just doesn't feel right. It's not. The problem is we have lost our blush. We're losing our ability to feel the shame. Listen, some of these emotions that we think are horrible, they're there to protect us. They're to keep us within a guideline that will help our society. But again, as Hosea says, Jeremiah 16:15 says, lost your blush. And when the blush is gone, you will have no problems with vulgarity. Lastly tonight, since sin and nakedness is a sign of sin and shame, well then what does clothing represent in the Bible? As we're going to see, it's a picture of salvation and knowledge of God. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. Now this man who had all the demons, of course, has come to know Christ as his Savior. It says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found this man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. One of the marks of this man coming to knowledge of God, one of the marks of this man when he came to know Christ was he put some clothes on. He got dressed. All of a sudden he realized, wait, this isn't right. You see that principle throughout. You see it in the garden in Genesis chapter 3 when God came and did shed that animal's blood. It is a picture of salvation and what was to come through Christ and being clothed in His righteousness. It pictures being right with God. It pictures something right. Look over at Isaiah. What is it? Isaiah chapter 61. I don't know if I wrote that verse down or not. I don't think I did. Yeah, I did. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. When people come to know the Lord, the culture should change. That was actually in the rest of that. When I was responding to that guy, when I finished that, I said, I am not worried about introducing an American culture here in PNG. I said, however, a new culture should form. A biblical one. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. What, again, the point I'm making here is, by the illustrations that we're showing, verses on nakedness, how it was associated with sin, shame, and judgment, God uses clothing to demonstrate salvation and joy and a right relationship with Him. You know, and I was amazed when I said I had a small issue with some of the ladies. It wasn't too small initially, but when the work first began in Kudu Kudu, you know, they actually dressed fairly modestly before I got there. And they would have on what they called a Mary blouse. It would be very long, flowing. They'd have a lap, a wraparound skirt. It was very modest. But I did have one trouble in the very beginning. And that is, they would, of course, breastfeed their children until several years old. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But they had a way of wrapping up their Mary blouse where basically nothing was covered. I would be preaching. All of a sudden, I'm preaching up to the sky. But what was neat, of course, as they came to know the Lord, that changed on its own. It changed on its own. What happened? Blush came in. They knew this isn't right. And then what was great about that, as visitors came, you would see them maybe every now and then start to do that. Then they'd be looking around saying, wait, better not do this. There's something different. When I would give rides in my vehicles in the back of my trucks, after I was there for a while, all the men would know when they went to get in the missionary truck, know what every single one of them did? Brought a shirt. Now, I'm not talking about men from our church. They would bring a shirt. They would put a shirt on before they got in my truck. Because that standard was, wow, that's different. Nakedness was always associated with sin. As a culture leaves God, nakedness will become more prevalent. From Genesis 3 on through, the standard what had to be covered was basically from your neck to the knee. That needs to be covered. Again, so seeing the Bible definition of what constitutes nakedness, how nakedness is a picture of sin and shame, and how clothes picture salvation and knowledge of God, we should get dressed so as the world can see a difference in our life. That they can see what the Lord has done for us. That by our appearance, we do show a difference. So again, let's go ahead and make sure we're following our biblical standard. Next week we'll continue. Next Sunday night's message, again, two left in this series, will be on modesty, biblical modesty. Is what we'll cover at that point in time. All right, with heads bowed and eyes closed.